Amen. All right, let's look down at verse number 7. We're in Proverbs chapter 11, where the Bible says, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth." Now, drop down to verse number 10. It says, "When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much, God, for this great crowd that would come out on a Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for the weather, Lord, and how beautiful it is outside. Pray that you just bless the soul winning today as it's done. And pray that you just bless each and every single person that came out and is faithful to church. And I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit and boldness and power as I preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Today I'm going to do a little bit of shouting because somebody wicked perished last week. And I didn't get a chance to preach about it because Pastor Shelley was here. But I'm continuing my series today of the Roasting in Hell series. And the title of my sermon this morning is Why Notorious RBG is in Hell. Amen. Why Notorious RBG is in Hell. And who am I talking about? Who's RBG? Who's the notorious RBG? Well, some people might not even know who she is, but you're going to find out a little bit about her today. She's a Supreme Court justice that just kicked the bucket last week, and she was a very wicked and evil judge. And the Bible has a lot to say about who should be a judge and who shouldn't be a judge and what qualifications you should have, and she didn't have any of the right ones. I'll just tell you that right now. But why is she in hell? Well, I'll get to that here in just a few minutes, but who is it? It's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So why is she called notorious? Well, you know what notorious means? It means a famous or well-known person, typically for some bad quality or deed. And so, you know, the notorious B.I.G. was like a rapper. And so they took that moniker and put it upon Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she, like, just loved that moniker. You know why? Because she was notorious. She was a piece of garbage. And she had a lot of wicked rulings, and even if the ruling went through, she would be a dissenter and say why that they ruled it wrong. So she was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the second woman to serve on the Supreme Court, became the first woman to lie in state in the United States Capitol on Friday. So what does it mean to lie in state? It's where they put you underneath, you know, the edge of the building, and they show your dead carcass. Everybody can walk up and look at it, right? And it's usually for people that die that serve the government in some way, shape, or form. So it's basically another way to come and worship somebody's dead body while they lie in the grave, basically. Well, she's not in the grave, but, you know, maybe she is now. But you know where she's ultimately at? The grave that burns everlasting fire. So she was the second woman to lie in state, the second woman to be on the Supreme Court. So it says, I just got this from an article online. It says, "The rare distinction was announced on Monday by Speaker Nancy Pelosi." You know, I can't wait till she dies too. But Justice Ginsburg, who died on September 18th at 87 years old, fought for our values till the end. Miss Pelosi said on Twitter, "Her death," the speaker said, "was an incredible, devastating loss for America." Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi was probably right that she fought for our values till the end, but you know what Nancy Pelosi's values are? Wickedness also.
Yes, right.
She's a very wicked person who claims to be a Christian and even quotes scripture sometimes to get her liberal agenda. You know, they twist the scriptures to make it fit what they want. So she lied in state on Friday, the notorious RBG, and Nancy Pelosi's singing her praises. Everybody's crying and they're so upset. Oh, this great woman of America died and she was so... She wasn't great, she was wicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was responsible for the death of millions of children. Right. The blood is on her hands, just like it is the other weasels that there are in office with her. And the ones that passed Roe versus Wade in the first place. But I'll get more into that here in just a second. I'm trying to like hold back my anger while I read a few things before I get, you know, go off. Anyway, it's, you know, it might be devastating to America that she died last week, but, you know, it's not devastating to God and his people. God's not devastated about it. And you know what? I'm not devastated about it either.
Amen.
You know, I didn't write a Twitter post to say I wish that she might have, you know, asked for Christ at the last second or whatever. So, she's wicked as sin, wicked as hell, and her current destination is in the lower levels of the fiery depths of hell. And you're like, how do you know that, Pastor Thompson? Well, you know, when people are exceedingly wicked, they are the ones that are going to be in the lowest hell. If you're responsible for the deaths of millions of innocent children, if you've taken part in that, I don't think God's going to put you at the top level of hell where it's not as hot. He's going to put you in the lower depths.
Yeah.
So she's being tormented right now for her wickedness.
Amen.
And I don't feel sad about it at all.
Amen.
I hope you don't either. You're like, Pastor Thompson, I can't believe you'd be so mean to this little old lady. You know what? She might have looked like a little sweet old lady, but she was full of dead men's bones.
Yep,
she was a whited sepulchre. She was wicked as hell.
Preach it.
So, but unless you're a Fox News Baptist, then it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe she went to heaven. I don't know. Here's what Stacy Shiflett said, Pastor Stacy Shiflett. He said on the day she died, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away. I pray she accepted Christ before she died. You know dang well she didn't accept Christ before she died. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with people that just want to just kowtow to the ultimate to all these wicked people? Why don't you just say the truth? She died and went straight to hell.
Yeah.
You know
yes.
She did.
Amen.
Like she just, oh, I accept Christ. Oh. I don't think so.
Right.
Think God's going to allow that to happen? I don't think he would.
Nope.
You know, she's probably been reprobate for a long time.
Right.
So, you know, and here's what else he said. Our next president will appoint someone to replace her. The stakes for this upcoming election could not be higher. I mean, he might as well work for the Republican convention.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What a stupid thing to say. You know, why don't you just say, hey, why don't you go out soul winning this week? That's going to do a lot better than who you vote for. Because I'll tell you what, the replacement that he's going to replace her with, I think he replaced her already, is just a pagan Catholic.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not really much difference.
Yeah.
So are Catholics known for being these big right-wing fundamentalists? No, they're not. They're known for being the most liberal that you could possibly be. And obviously, they're not really Christians. But, like, there's all these articles. So the left-right paradigm is going on here. And basically what they're saying is, well, this lady's extremely far right, and she's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. They've been saying that since 1973.
Yeah.
Since it first got, you know, the next election is so important because we're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Because the devil is the one that runs this government.
Yep.
And I don't care what you say. I'm not voting for the president ever again.
Amen.
Because basically we're given two choices, two puppets for the New World Order,
yep.
two puppets for Satan. And you know, what difference does it make which one gets in? Now, it is funny to watch Donald Trump roast on people, but, you know, if you just realize that it's reality TV,
yeah.
I mean, just get some entertainment out of it, but, like, if you're really putting your stock in Donald Trump that he's some savior for us, he's not a savior for
That's
us.
Right.
He's wicked as hell just like she is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. But here's a little blurb about her, too. So, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was an associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States from 1993 unto her death. She was nominated by President Bill Clinton. I'm sure that was a great nomination, right? And at the time, was generally viewed as a moderate. So here's the game that gets played with the Supreme Court all the time. So the Supreme Court, they basically take these cases that are the hardest cases to take, and then they vote based upon, you know, they judge the situation and compare it to the Constitution, and they try to make a judgment based upon what the Constitution says or doesn't say. But here's what they do. Every election, one of them kicks the bucket, or they're talking about when the next one, you know, who's going to be the next pick, and like right now, that's what's being fought over right now. I can't believe Donald Trump would pick, you know, this far-right wing extremist, and they know dang well she's not a far-right wing extremist. They said that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a moderate is? Kind of a middle of the road. You know, she's kind of conservative. She's not super Looney Tunes. You know, right in the middle. That's what a moderate would be considered. But she didn't end up that way, did she? She was never a moderate.
Yep.
That's such a lie. She was not a moderate. She was She was a far left Looney Tune from the get-go. So why is she burning in hell this morning? Why is she roasting in hell this morning? And look, I got some applications later. It's not just about all about her burning in hell, okay? But I want to talk about right judgments today. I also want to talk about the wrong judgments. I want to talk about basically the office of a judge, you know, and what God requires of a true judge. And look, in the church, people are always saying, hey, you're not supposed to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged yourself. I mean, that's probably, if you did a search on my Billy Graham sermon about how many people told me this guy doesn't know the Bible because he obviously doesn't know that you're not supposed to judge people. Then it says, judge not, ... because they can't even finish it because that's all they know. They're a little, you know, you pull the string and judge not. Hate the sinner, love the sinner. They don't really know anything else. You know, Jesus turned water into wine. They know that one, not bad. Yeah. But they don't really know what the Bible says because throughout the Bible, judge and judgment are two very commonly used words.
Yes.
You know, we judge every single day things. Right. You know what? In the church, we're supposed to judge things also.
Yeah.
Now, we're not supposed to judge unrighteously. We're supposed to judge righteously. Judge righteous judgment. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Amen. So if he says we're supposed to judge righteous judgment, that means we're supposed to judge, doesn't it? And I'll get into that deeper into the sermon, but why is the notorious RBG roasting in hell today? Well, number one, she was a Christ-rejecting Jew.
Yeah.
All right? And you're like, you're racist. No, being Jewish is not a race.
Right. Yep.
It's a religion.
Amen.
Okay? So, she was the second female and the first. How do I know this? Well, here's what I want to tell you. I'm not railing this morning. People are like, you know, well, you're railing on a person that died, and you're so wicked for doing that, Pastor Thompson. Well, I'm not railing because there's things written about her and things that she said with her own mouth that condemn her. Right. You know, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says, right? So she condemns herself with her own words. She doesn't get righteous by the things that she says. She never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. She died a wicked puppet of Satan.
Yeah.
All right. So she was a Christ-rejecting Jew. How do I know that? Well, all you have to do is just say type in on Google search, what religion was Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And it'll say this. She was the second female and the first Jewish female justice of the Supreme Court. She eventually became the longest-serving Jewish justice. They're proud of that fact. But what does the Bible say? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. What does the Bible say about people that are Jewish? So-called Jews. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. The Bible says this, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Hey, I'm Jewish. You know what that means? She rejected the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And that's why she's roasting in hell this morning.
Yep.
Because that's the first, you know, if you don't put your faith in Christ, then you're done. There's two types of people in this world, my friends. Ones that have accepted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that have rejected him and have not called upon his name. You believe or you believe not. There's two categories in this world, and the ones that believe are going to heaven. The ones that have not believed are going to hell. But it says, who's a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He's Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You know, like people will go, well, they do worship the Old Testament Heavenly Father. Is that what the Bible says?
Nope.
No? It says, whosoever denieth the Son, verse 23, the same hath not the Father. Look, the only way to have the Father is through the Son.
Right.
If they don't believe in the Son, they don't have the Father either. They don't believe the Bible anyway. They don't believe Moses. They never believe Moses. They don't believe in real creation. They believe the Bible is just a bunch of stories and fairy tales.
Yep.
I don't even know why they call themselves people of a book, because they don't believe the book that they supposedly, you know, believe. They don't believe it. So who is a liar? Someone that has rejected Christ. And it says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son, hath the Father also. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I'm not going to go into a big dissertation about the Jews, but I'm going to show you a couple verses here. And what am I trying to do? I'm trying to prove that she is in hell. Like, why?
Why is this such a big deal? Because, you know, when the wicked people die, the people shout. Amen. People, we should be excited about that. You're like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about wicked people.
Right.
Wicked people like Adolf. Do you think we should have said, oh, I hope Adolf Hitler prayed to Jesus right before he blew his brains out? What a stupid thing to say. What a Fox News Baptist idiotic thing to say. Revelation 2:9 says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Yep.
What is Ruth Bader Ginsburg? The synagogue of Satan.
Amen.
She's not saved. She didn't believe on Jesus Christ. She is of the synagogue of Satan. So when you say, oh, Pastor Tubbs, I can't believe you're saying that she works for the devil. She works for the devil!
Amen.
Yep.
Well, she worked for the devil. Well, she kicked the bucket. Right? She worked for the devil. It says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. So there's a lot of people out here that say they're Jews, but you know what? You're the real Jews out here today. Because you put your faith in Christ. You have the circumcision of the heart. And we have believed on Christ, and so you are the true Jews. Right? They're not the true Jews. They're just liars that say that they have the Father, but they don't because they don't have the Son. Turn the page over and look at Revelation chapter 3, verse number 9. Revelation 3, verse number 9. Can somebody give me some water? Please, por favor. Maybe two. All right. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9 says, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I mean, God makes it so clear that people that say they're Jews, that don't have Jesus, he says they're liars.
Yeah, yes.
So we're not, I mean, when she says she's a Jew, and when that article said that she's the first Jew to be, you know, a woman Jew to be on the Supreme Court, she's lying. She's not really a Jew. So it says, Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So two different verses in the book of Revelation, which says, first of all, it says that they're blaspheming when they say they're Jews. And then it says, they're, you know, in both verses it says they're lying, but in both verses it says they're of the synagogue of Satan. And look, you can't mix this up. There's only one religion in this world that has synagogues, and that's the Jews. And so we don't have, this is not called a synagogue, this is called a church. This is where we congregate together, and we come together to form the church. They're not the church. They're the same. There's no other religion on earth. So who's it talking about? The ones that say they're Jews and do lie. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a liar. And so she really wasn't fit to be a judge of anything. She shouldn't be a judge of anything. Number two, her wickedness was exceeding sinful. Her wickedness was exceeding sinful. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked sinners before the Lord, she was an exceeding sinful person. Like I said earlier, millions of dead children's blood is on her hands. They're the true Holocaust.
Yeah.
You know, they want to talk, the Jews want to talk about, 6 million Jews dead. Look, I don't believe that for one second.
Yeah, right.
And look, if you believe in the whole Holocaust thing, whatever. But, you know, I've studied it, and I just don't think the math adds up.
Yeah.
The math does not add up. I'm not saying Jews didn't die in the World War II. What about all the Germans that they torched that were civilians, you know, in Dresden?
Mm-hmm.
And bombed Dresden and just killed millions of people for what? For what? For revenge? The United States has a lot of blood on its hands.
Yeah.
And I just can't understand why people would be like, I'm so proud to be an American where we firebomb people. You know, it's like, and we send drones to kill innocent Muslim kids. You know, I mean, it's wicked.
Yeah.
To kill anybody just for no reason, when you kill innocent women and children and men, it's wicked.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're going to fight face to face, why you got to be such a sneak and try to use drones to just destroy people? You're like, well, it stops people from wasting human lives. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a sneaky way to kill somebody. That's not right. I mean, even when Joab killed Abner, you know, that was a sneaky, you know, that was a pretty sneaky thing to do. Are you in health, my brother? Kissing him, just stabbed him under the fifth rib, right? And it was a wicked sin, and David said, hey, his hoary head should not go to the grave. You know, he needs to be killed, Solomon. It's wrong It's wrong to be a sneak like that. It's wrong to be a sniper. It's wrong to kill people with drones, especially children and families. It's like, what is wrong with this country? So wicked. What do we have, like 160-something military bases all around the world? Mm-hmm. Where we're just proud, they're making them proud to be Americans? No, they hate our guts.
Yeah, right.
They hate our guts because we come and give them freedom. We give them faggotry. Yep. We give them AIDS, yep. Sodomy, vaccinations.
Yeah, right.
Oh, here, take this vaccination. Oh, queers are all, it's all good. Be a queer. Let's spend billions of dollars on making Africa a queer nation.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they're fighting Bible-believing Christians and censoring us on YouTube. But where am I at here? Yeah, she has millions of dead children's blood on her hands. The true Holocaust. So in a case called Tenberg and Carhart in 2000, a law was struck down, a Nebraska law, that had made performing partial birth abortions a phrase that has no basis in medicine, illegal. The court decided that any law that imposed a burden on women's rights to choose to terminate a pregnancy was unconstitutional. What does that mean? They struck down a law that stopped partial birth abortions. And guess who voted on that? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And said, and the obstacle causing someone considering an abortion to fear prosecution was an undue burden. So basically, they're saying, oh yeah, it's wrong to stop a woman from killing her child that's about to be born. That has arms, that has legs and a head and a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And they're moving around. I mean, if you just go to an ultrasound, your baby's moving around pretty quickly. And they're not like they show you in the science books where they're like some amoeba that's floating around. They're babies.
Yeah.
When the Bible says conception, that's when the child is conceived. Okay? That's, that's life. So, but she voted to have partial birth abortions done. And look, I don't want to get super graphic in here. But I'll just tell you this. It's one of the most savage and barbaric things that's ever been done. And it's wicked. And I'm sure that you've seen videos or maybe seen pictures on the internet that you wish you hadn't seen where they're doing partial birth abortions. And I just can't even imagine how a doctor could even perform that. I mean, I can't even call, can you call them a doctor?
No.
The Hippocratic Oath says, do no harm.
Yeah, right.
And do you think they're doing harm when they do a partial birth abortion? You know they are. That person that's having that done, they're the ones that deserve to die.
Yes.
She was all worried about how the mother might not have, the rights that she needs to, shut up.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not a medical procedure. It's a extermination.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an extermination of your own child. It's wicked.
Amen.
So here's what old Guinea said, Ginsburg, that it's an obstacle causing someone to consider an abortion to fear prosecution, an undue burden. It was a 5-4 decision. Ginsburg wrote, in concurrence that the law didn't have an exception to protect the life of the mother, making it unconstitutional. So because there was nothing in the law, they just found the loophole where they could just keep on murdering children up until birth almost. And, there's people out there that think that you should be able to have the baby. It's more safe to have the baby and then kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's coming, folks.
Yeah.
What's going to stop them?
Right.
You know that this country is 70-something percent liberal and like 23% conservative? And of those 23% conservative people, do you think they're as conservative as we are?
Nope.
I highly doubt that. There might be a small, like 2-3% that are as conservative as we are. Because even some Christians be like, well, I think in the cases of rape or incest, well, was that the baby's fault that happened?
Right.
No. And God still considers that a life. And just because you think you're on the moral high ground doesn't mean it's right. And obviously, old RBG didn't think it was, she thought it was just fine to chop up a little child inside the mother's womb because she deemed it unconstitutional. Later, in the same case, 2007, so 7 years later, she wrote about it, said the same issue was confronted. A federal law had out, outlawed partial birth abortions in this case. However, the law was upheld, also 5-4. Ginsburg dissented, noting, "The law saves not a single fetus from destruction, for it targets only a method of performing abortion." So she's just saying it doesn't stop. It doesn't save a child's fetus from destruction. It targets only a method of performing it. So basically, she just thinks it's wrong because they're just targeting one method. It's not one method. It's how old is the child? Look, any method of destroying a child in the womb is wicked.
Amen.
So here's another one of her iconic dissents. You know, icon. She's so great. Let's worship her. Let's cry for her. I don't shed one tear. I rejoice. I shouted.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo.
Amen.
When she kicked the bucket.
Amen.
And you're like, that's sick, Pastor Thompson. Well, you know, she's wicked.
Yeah.
She can't do that to me anymore. She can't make any more stupid decisions for the Supreme Court. She can't make any more wicked judgments against God and against his people. So here's what else she said. On cases like this, it may be clear that these kinds of laws masquerade as being protective of health, when in reality, they make it more difficult for people to access essential health care. So this is the code word that they use, essential health care. It isn't health care. You're not caring for that child's health. You're killing that child. It's not health care. Even our own Governor Jay Inslee, just said, I'm the governor, I'm going to fight for women's health care. The right to choose to kill your child. The husband has no say in it. These are the kinds of judgments that Ruth Bader Ginsburg made. And she fought for gender equality. That was like one of her big things that she did. And you know what? This country's in sad shape because of gender equality laws that are put into place.
Right.
Sad. So she said also this in turn leads people who need abortions to resort to unsafe procedures rather than change their decision. See, they always have talking points. Their talking points are always like, well, it resorts them to using a coat hanger. Well, if you use a coat hanger, you deserve to die.
Yep. Yeah.
If you go and try to do some unsafe procedure because it's against the law, then you should die.
Right.
You're trying to go to all these extremes to murder your own children.
Yeah.
I hope you die.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because it's wicked. Maybe they'll cut the baby out and save the baby's life and you die.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're like, this is extreme preaching. Yeah, you're right, it is.
Amen.
Because it makes me angry.
Amen.
When I just, even any kind of abortion stuff, it just makes me so furious, so angry. Somebody was telling me yesterday about how their girlfriend was pregnant and she had an IUD put in. And they talked her into doing an abortion because the IUD sends all these hormones and stuff to the baby that's harmful to them. So, but that's what they do. They try to always talk you into having an abortion when it's not necessary.
Right.
I doubt that. I mean, even if that is true, I doubt that that would have affected the baby in such a bad way. Because when you first find out, I'm sure it's not just like some pulverizing. They do that all the time.
Yeah.
They want you to have your baby killed.
Yeah.
When Sherry was pregnant with Nia, what was the thing that you had? It was called. Tell Robert. Huh? Yeah, fibs or fits? I can't remember. Fibs, whatever. So she had this disease, and they were pressuring us to have an abortion because they said that Nia was going to be retarded. She was going to be, you know, and here she is. She's just fine, mostly. But can you imagine? Like, we would have never had Nia and the blessing that we have with her, and we would have never had the blessing of Emmy and the blessing of the new baby that's coming and Brandon. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. I always give Brandon a hard time. But imagine if we would have just went with their health care, advice.
Right.
Does she look like she's got problems? Well, don't answer that question. I'm just kidding. But you know what? I can't even imagine my life without them in my life. And they wanted me to destroy my own child.
Wicked.
We said, no! But this is the kind of things that they try to get people to do. And the story about the other person is that, you know, that girl, she went with their advice.
Right.
And he said, well, I'm not even with her anymore because of what she did. So it's not like he was some, you know, super right wing. You know, most people know that when they go to do something like that, it's wrong.
Right.
You can't, you know, and when they did that with me and Sherry, you know, when they tried to get her, we weren't even saved. We weren't saved. So, I mean, we still realized that that wasn't the right thing to do.
Right.
So, what else did she do? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's look at Exodus chapter 21. And this is just a situation where it's kind of like an accident that someone accidentally makes someone's child die. This is what, you know, we're not talking about someone killing millions of babies. We're talking about two guys that are fighting that end up having someone have a miscarriage because of their fight. Look at what it says in verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, it's talking about the baby inside her womb, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. So here's the judges are supposed to determine what's right and wrong when it comes to this. But you know what? Ruth Bader Ginsburg totally went all against this. And this is just a situation where it's an accident, pretty much. It's an accident, but it's negligent, all right? And so if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. So if they're like, hey, you know, don't make the judges try to pay me, and they try to, you know, bribe these people or intimidate them into not giving what they're supposed to give, then it says, if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. And this is basically a fight that breaks out. It's not like, you know, from the bench of a judge's bench to say, hey, yeah, it's fine to just kill children up until they're almost born. Because we don't want to stop a woman from having her health care access, do we? So it says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. God's very clear about what the judgment is in just this situation, which you can see, like, if two guys are just duking it out and they fall and knock some pregnant lady over and she loses her child, then it's supposed to be paid as the judges determine. Now look, nothing can pay for the loss of the life of a child, but that's why the judges determine, hey, it was an accident, you know, it's kind of like manslaughter, right? But then what about if you just literally just kill your own child? What do you think the justice for that is?
Right.
If any mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life.
Amen.
Life for life. So when you say, Pastor Johnson, I can't believe you'd say someone who uses, you know, some other means to get an abortion should die, that's what the Bible says.
Right, yes. Amen.
You know where my extreme views come from? God.
Amen.
You know, God's extreme about things.
Amen.
God's black and white. God judges things based upon what's right and what's wrong.
Good.
And so don't get mad at me because I preach the Bible.
Amen.
If you can't handle it, there's willy-nilly Baptist down the street and go there.
Yeah.
Clown Shoe Baptist is down a little further. Repent of Your Sins Baptist is a little further down the street from there. You can go there if you don't like this kind of preaching. Another wicked thing she's known for is gender equality. I already kind of mentioned this, but here's a quote from her. It says, it is essential to women's equality with man that she be the decision maker. So you see how she's ruling from the bench? You see how her decisions are made? That it's essential to women's equality that man with a man that she be the decision maker. What's the Bible say?
Yeah.
Who's the decision maker in the home, according to the Bible? And look, it's not just for Christians. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
It says that her choice be controlled. That's her choice be controlled. Let me read that again. It's essential to a woman's equality with man that she be the decision maker, that her choice be controlling. Her choice be controlling. Ginsburg told senators during her 4 days of questioning by the Senate's Judiciary Committee, this is when she was becoming the Supreme Court Justice, if you impose restraints that impede her choice, you are disadvantaging her because of her sex. You want to know why the world's in the shape that it's in? Why this country's in the shape that it's in? Gender equality is a big part of it. It's not the only part of it. It's just one part of the web that Satan has weaved to really, it's putting women down.
Because
you're not allowing them to be in their natural role. And it's putting men down. And you wonder why men are walking around wearing skinny jeans and pink shoes and pink shirts and all this kind of stuff. Because they've been clipped.
Yeah.
Their women wears, you know, the pants in the family, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, right.
So, look, I just want to be honest about something this morning. I love ladies. I love the women in our church. I'm not trying to put you down or anything like this. But I just want to be real this morning. Because she was all about workplace, you know, equality with how you get paid. Now, the last I knew that the women were the weaker vessel. They're not as strong as men. They're not able to do as much work. They're not able to endure a hard day in the labor field like a man can.
Right.
Now, obviously, there's that 1% woman that might be able to hang with, like, the weakest man on the crew. But let's just be real about it. Yeah. And look, there are a couple women that I've seen that can outwork men, but that's just because they're weak. Because they're just weak physically,
right.
They're weak mentally, and they might as well be a woman.
Yep.
Okay? So, it's too cold outside. I'm going to stay in the we've had, you know, you want to talk about equality, you know, why a person on my crew gets to sit in their truck and not have to get out because we might offend them because they're black.
Yeah.
So you get to just sit in the truck and do nothing because you're black? That's wicked too.
Yeah.
But I'm not on that subject today, but I mean, it's part of it. But how about the woman that gets paid the exact same amount as I do to the exact same things, but always gets to do the easiest job on the crew?
Right.
Why?
Yep.
How's that equality?
Right.
So I have to work my guts out every single week. I have to go and dig massive amounts of holes while one other person gets to drive around in a truck and do nothing?
Yep. Right.
Because you know what? The work isn't going to get done by her.
Yep.
So guess what? They put all the work on me.
Right.
Or men like me.
Right.
Because they can't do the work. That's not equality.
Yep.
That's wickedness.
Yeah.
It's not right. If you're going to say, hey, be equal, then be equal then.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I just want to say this. Women in the military, they're not going to be able to drag somebody off the battlefield when someone's wounded.
Yep.
It's a detriment to the military to have to endure something like that.
Yep.
Look, you might have watched G.I. Jane, but guess what? That story was a Hollywood movie,
yep.
And there's never been a woman that's rung that bell before. So they try to make it look like she was some Navy SEAL. No woman has ever passed a Navy SEAL test, ever.
Yeah, right.
They've never even come close. So, and I'm just, look, you're definitely going to be better at baking cookies than I am, okay? You're definitely going to be better than, you know, than cleaning and doing dishes than I am. I get that. Because women just have a tendency to want to keep their home. I wonder why. Maybe God made them like that.
Yeah.
Not all women are like that, though. But God also didn't make them to go out and dig holes in the pouring down rain,
yep.
And throw 50-pound sacks of concrete into the hole and put signs in them and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
How about being firefighters? Can I mention your name? Is it all right? Brother Scott was on the first trials in Portland, right? Where the first woman was going to go through the firefighter trial. Did she pass?
She did because they said, just walk, don't run.
but did she beat did she make the time that she was supposed to make?
She did, but the standard was so low that anybody could.
So they changed the standard, though.
Yes.
Okay, so the men have this standard here, and the women have this standard down here. Because why? Because they can't do the lifting that's required to do. And so how are you going to drag a 300-pound guy out of a burning building if you're a 109?
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? And look, they put the people on the crews the way that they're supposed to be put on there. And what is that? It's a detriment to the firefighter. Would you want the call, hey, 911, my house is on fire! And it shows up and there's five women on there that can't lift the body, can't lift the hoses. Can't, you know, who's doing the heavy lifting, you think? The men.
Yeah.
It's like that in any job where there's like equality. It's all equal. How about the police? You know, can a police officer woman wrangle down some methed out freak? No, they have to get five other women to help them. Or the man has to do it. How about in construction? Same thing. Look, it's just physically it's not equal physically. So why would you get paid the same amount or more? That doesn't make sense. That's not equality. That's an unjust balance.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Now, don't be mad at me, ladies. Okay? I think you're great, and I just think that there's two roles.
Amen.
And the husband has one role, and the wife has another role.
Amen.
And as long as we're doing our roles, everything's good.
Right.
But once the wife starts trying to be the boss of the home, there's going to be friction.
Yep. Yep.
Every single time.
Yep.
So, turn to Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this is because there's an example in the Bible where, and this is, you know, I don't think the king was saved necessarily. And that's why I'm saying it's like this in every home.
Right?
It should be like, you know, the man is the boss of the home in every home. But it's not like that anymore. You're like, what does this have to do with judging? Well, I'm talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, okay? And she was a judge. Esther chapter 1, verse 15 says, okay, so Vashti, the queen of Persia, you know, she basically told the king to go kick rocks when he called. All he did is just said, hey, come to the party. I want you to come to the party. And she was like, through a baby fit, right? And refused to come when her husband commanded her to come. And you know, and obviously not everybody's a king of an empire, okay? But he was. But look, the story is for everybody. This story is for everybody, every man, every woman, every married couple. It says, verse 15, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, or to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. So it wasn't just the king that she slighted, it was every man in the kingdom, basically, and to the detriment of every woman. And look what it says in verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be reported that King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. So she just basically disobeyed the king. And it says, this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. It's a detriment to the whole society, to the whole kingdom that he ruled over, because he was the king of the Mede-Persian Empire. He was the ultimate power in the kingdom. And they said, this is a serious situation. Just one simple disobedience could destroy all the households of the whole country and of the whole empire just by one woman's disobedience.
Right.
Isn't that what it's saying? And look what it says in verse 18. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there be a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Why would she be better? Because she actually obeys what her husband says. And I'll just say this, when I do vows at a wedding, part of the vows is that the wife is supposed to obey.
Yeah.
That's part of it. And so that should be part of it because that's what the Bible teaches. Yeah. So it says in verse 20, and when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. Great and small, to the princes and even to the lowest, poorest person in the whole country and the whole kingdom, that this decree be published, that the wives shall give their husbands honor. And that's how it should be.
Yep.
And look, obviously, I'm harping on women right now, but who am I preaching about? Preaching about a wicked woman that was a Supreme Court justice that made laws and helped establish laws that were a detriment to this country. And one of those things is that she's trying to put men and women on equal ground.
Yeah.
And that women should be the decision makers in the home. That flies right in the face of the Bible.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean, people might look at this and think, it's not that big of a deal. What is the Bible teaching right here? It is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if one wife refuses to come when her husband asks her to come, who's the king, then the Bible says that it's going to be a detriment to the whole country, to the whole kingdom. Amen. And so when that stuff goes down here in this country, which it already has, then men have lost all power in their homes. And so you can just say, well, the law says this. I don't care what the law of this country says. You know what is important to me? What the law of this book says.
Amen.
I'm sick of this stuff.
Amen.
You can just call the police on some young man and have him thrown in jail with no evidence.
Right.
It's wicked.
Amen.
So let's see. Where are we at here? I'm sorry, I got freaky there for a second. So in verse 22 it says, "For he sent letters to the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house."
Amen.
This is not one of God's countries, is it?
No.
This is one of the four kingdoms that was prophesied in the book of Daniel. And so God, so don't say it's just in the Christian home. No, it's in all society this is the way it should be.
Yeah.
But everything's flipped upside down in America, and you wonder why families are getting divorced at a higher rate than ever before.
Right.
Because of no-fault divorces, because of women like this lizard from hell.
Yeah.
You know, she looked like, you know, some gecko or something. I don't know. But it's because of stuff like this that this country's being ruined. Look, ladies, do not let your mind be brainwashed into believing this garbage.
Amen.
You should never, never turn your husband over to the law unless there's some crazy violent crimes going on.
Amen.
Or if, you know, maybe he's trying to kill you or something like that. But that's something that the law does, should take care of.
Yeah.
But if you're just bickering over something, it should never be that you call the police on your husband and try to get him thrown in jail.
Amen.
That's wicked as hell.
Amen.
I'm going to take everything. I'm going to take everything out of the bank. I'm going to take everything. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. And you can't see your kids. And I control everything. That's what this country is right now.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not right.
Amen.
And I would die on that hill. And anybody that helps people like that, they're wicked too.
Amen.
Never allowed in this church, I'll tell you that right now.
That's good.
Every man should bear rule in his own home. Well, that doesn't mean that you can just take away my freedoms. Yeah, it does!
Yeah. Amen.
If you're being wicked, your husband's supposed to say, no, you're not going here. No, you're not going there. No, I'm not buying that for you.
Right, yep.
You're really extreme, Pastor Thompson. I know, it flies in the face of all the programming you've received your whole life.
Yep. Right.
I know that's true.
Right. Yep.
But what does the Bible say?
Amen.
That's what I'm preaching today.
Amen.
So every man should bear rule in his own house.
Yep.
Amen. And you know what? There's a reckoning coming someday for people like this. She's already reckoned right now.
Right.
But King Ahasuerus thought it was a really big deal, and he went and sought good counsel and said, hey, what should I do? My queen won't even obey me. She won't even just come to the party and show off how pretty she is. That's what most women want, right? They want everybody to see how pretty they are. I'm not saying you. Maybe you. I don't know. But, a lot of women will like that. But she, according, I'm not going to have people look at me because I'm pretty. You know, which one do you want? People look at you because you're pretty or not look at you? Look at you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, come on. Obey your husband.
Amen.
Listen to your husband. Well, what if he's saying something wrong? Well, then God's going to deal with him about that.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Because he's the one that's responsible for the whole house.
Right.
And so every decision he makes, if it's wrong,
yep,
then God's going to be all over him.
Yep.
Like white on rice.
Yep. Yep.
So why don't you just do your job?
Yep.
See, this is, when people fight, when couples fight, this is what happens if the lines get blurred when they start fighting about things.
Right.
Well, maybe because you're hungry. That could be part of it. But maybe it's the time that comes upon all women.
Right.
That could be part of it too. But guys are jerks sometimes too. But look, if we would just stay in our own lanes and stay in our own roles, these kind of things wouldn't happen as much. If you would stop letting the government brainwash you and program you to thinking, well, he won't let me do this, so he's taking away my rights. No, he won't let you do this because maybe you just don't need to do it.
Yeah, right.
There's other countries in the world that still hold to these traditional values, believe it or not. But this country is far gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So RGB will be replaced by another woman.
Right.
A Roman Catholic pagan named Amy Coney Barrett. And she'll seem conservative at first too. Everybody's saying, she's conservative. She's crazy. She's Catholic. She's not that conservative.
Yeah.
Mark it down. She will not stay conservative.
Yeah. Right.
Just like Justice Roberts or whatever. Oh, he's going to be our... Hey, this vote counts. It's a big deal because Justice Roberts, you know, we got to get him in. And look what he does. Votes against churches.
Yep.
Votes against everything that's conservative. He's a piece of garbage. It didn't take him long to not be conservative.
Right.
Who appointed him? Oh, let me see. It was Donald Trump.
Right.
So, look, if you think that Amy Coney Barrett is going to be the savior of the country because she's being picked as a... Look, all they have to do is stack the courts. If Biden wins, they can stack the courts. And they'll just make as many justices as they want so then they can win every decision anyway.
Yeah.
So, look... The politics aren't going to save us. It's being a godly family. It's being the opposite of what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said.
Right.
Not letting the women make the decisions. And hey, you better find out beforehand until it bites you in the rear end afterwards. Just because someone's pretty doesn't mean that they're... And just because they say they believe the Bible... And just because they say they love all your friends, just because they say all this stuff doesn't mean that it's actually true.
Yeah.
You better be careful who you marry. Amen. Because you're stuck after that. And then everything that they want to do, every lie that they try to tell you, it's going to be unfold on you. And then you just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Just think about that. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Bible says this, and I know that this is in the context of church, but listen to what it says. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. So it was wrong for me to ask my wife a question in the middle of the service. I realize that now. I repent in dust and ashes. Does anybody have some sackcloth I can use after the service? She mouthed it to me, though. But anyway, it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, obviously, again, this is in church context. But how many churches have you gone to where the women are getting up and going, hey, amen!
Yeah.
It's like, sit down and shut up. You're not supposed to be amening in this church. Or the pastor's like, who would like to read the scripture? We're going to do a Bible study on Wednesday night. Who would like to read the scriptures? The women all pop up. It's missionary Baptist churches. Bink! And then their husbands are sitting there like, true. I've actually seen that in multiple churches. Have you seen it, Brother Joe?
Yeah, we went
to a... They're like standing up like it's a sword drill or something. They're like competing against the other women in the church and their husband are just sitting down. I'm not kidding. I've seen it multiple times. Mostly in missionary Baptist churches. But if they're supposed to be silent, why are they getting up and usurping authority over the man? Why are they getting up And not being silent? They shouldn't be doing that. Why? Because for Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, and the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's why God says that. But what I'm talking about is they're not supposed to usurp authority over the man. That's not just in church. That's also at home.
Yep.
It's also in the workplace, in my opinion. It's also in the government. And I'll show you some of that here in just a second. But so what is a judge? What is the definition of a judge? It's a public official appointed to decide cases in a court of law. Now, obviously, in Old Testament Israel, or even in the church now, we do have judges.
Yep.
You know, I'm the judge, basically, of this church. I'm the ruler of this church. I'm the pastor of this church. And so I'm going to judge situations that happen. If people come to me with problems, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to judge it based upon what the Bible says. And I'm going to say, you're wrong because you did this, or you're wrong because you did that, or whatever. But I'm still going to judge things. When I see people, or those kids are being unruly, you know what I did, got up and did this morning? I judged the situation and said, hey, this is what I'm saying has to happen in the house of God. Because that's my job.
Amen.
So, and look, I'm not picking on anybody. I want everybody to get along and I want everybody to follow the rules, but sometimes you have to remind people. So, but anyway, a judge is also to form an opinion or conclusion about something or someone. So, you know, if someone tells you something, you should be able to judge or make a conclusion about something that they're saying. We judge all the time.
Right.
And you don't have to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg to judge people. You judge how far you are from one car to another, don't you?
Yeah.
You judge. You just judge. One car length, really? Oh, you shouldn't judge me because I ride people's bumpers on the freeway. Stupid. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12. So these are things that God doesn't like to see in a judge. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12, or a ruler. It says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. All his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. So you see the difference between someone that hearkens to lies, that's a ruler. Ruth Bader Ginsburg hearkened to lies, didn't she? She perpetuated lies. She perpetuated wickedness in this world. But it says, a king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. See, when you're a faithful judge, when you're doing what's right in God's sight, then God's going to bless the judgment that you do. But when you're a wicked judge and you hearken unto lies, then even all their servants are wicked. And so turn to Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 9. God's pronouncing woe on some bad children. I'm taking this coat off. I'm done. Says the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. See, when rulers, you know, declare their sin like Sodom, just because you don't see them get punished right now, they are going to get punished someday.
Yeah.
You know, just because he doesn't fireball them like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't mean they're not going to be in fireballs down below. And it says in verse number 10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. So what's wrong with our people, that women are ruling over them and children are their oppressors.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to lead your children into church with a leash,
yeah,
you got problems.
Yeah.
Children are your oppressors.
Right.
You know, you might think, well, they're having them in slavery. No, they have you in slavery because you have to put a tether on them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that's being a faithful leader of your household when you have to put your kids on a leash.
Yeah.
Spank them.
Amen.
Make him obey.
Amen.
But what is the point here is that women should not be ruling over men. Isn't that what it's saying?
Yep.
Children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Woe unto my people. Hey, there's a lot of Christians in this country that let their women rule over them.
Yep.
And they let their children oppress them. Mm-hmm. Oh, my child doesn't like that. Hey, why don't you rule your own house?
Amen.
Rule your own children. Rule your own house. You know, and let the chips fall where they may. And I'm not saying be a tyrant. I'm just saying make sure that it's known in your house who the boss is.
Right.
Because it shouldn't be your wife. So Lewis says, they cause thee to err and destroy the way of the past, thy past. What is the path we're supposed to be on?
Yep.
The right path.
Amen.
The godly path. But when your wife is in control of everything in your house, guess what? She's going to take you on a wrong path.
Yep.
Because that's not the way leadership is supposed to work. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
It says, the Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment. You know what? If we don't have any good judges on this earth, at least we have one good one up in heaven.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? It says that he standeth to judge the people.
Amen.
And the Lord will enter into judgment. God's going to judge. And you know what? He will judge Christians that aren't living according to the Bible.
Right.
And so, hey, if you're, you know, you're so worried about all this stuff, but why don't you look and focus in on your own home and see what's really going on? Because if your children are controlling you and controlling your house, man, then that's wrong and wicked. And so is it if you let your wife do it also.
Right.
And this is pretty scathing, and it's kind of gone off into a gender sermon here, but it's important.
Amen.
We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. You know what I want to do as a pastor? I want to judge just judgment.
Amen.
I don't ever want to be on the side of just say, hey, you know, I really like Brother Joe. You know, I know he's having a conflict with somebody else in the church, but I like Joe better than them. So I'm just going to judge on the side of Joe. That's not right.
Amen.
That is being a respecter of persons.
Right.
That is wrong. And we're not supposed to judge that way. When I judge situations in the church, I try my best not to be partial with anybody. And people might say, well, did you see how he did with so-and-so? Hey, I'm trying my best to judge with righteous judgment.
Amen.
And it says, turn to Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Now, Moses was the pastor of the church in the wilderness, and he had a lot more church members than I do. So he was in some issues. That, you know, he wasn't quite sure how he should judge the people. Look, it says in verse 13, though. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. Now, usually this is, you know, used to say, hey, I need some help. You know, I'm drowning here in work, and I need some people to take some stuff off my hands. But that's not why I'm showing you these verses. Look at verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. See, that's my job as a man of God, is when someone comes to me with a matter, you know, I judge between one and another. If a husband and wife come to me and they're having problems, I'm not just going to side with the wife because she's nice and sweet or whatever. I'm going to side with what's right according to the Bible. And I'm going to take and I'm going to listen to what both people are saying. I'm going to say, here's what you need to work on, and here's what you need to work on.
Amen.
But see, the problem is that some people just don't want to listen to what the judgment is.
Yeah, right.
They want to blame the other person for everything that's going on, and they never want to take the blame for themselves.
Yeah.
So, and look, you shouldn't be taking your marital problems outside of your home.
Right.
You should never take it, you know, unless it's like life or death situation. They're molesting the kids, or they're beating you, or trying to kill you. That I understand. But everything else, why can't you figure it out for yourselves?
Amen.
Why do you have to involve your parents and stuff? Why do you have to involve your brother and sister and stuff? Why do you have to tell other church members about your family problems? You don't need to do that.
Amen.
Keep it in-house.
Amen.
You're like, well, I'm never going to get it figured out. Why don't you go to the authority in your life that actually can help you then? But what bothers me more than anything is when someone comes to me and I give them advice, I give them counsel, I make a judgment, and they just throw it out the window. Don't waste my time. If you're not going to listen to what, you know, that's what people do when they're advice shopping, is they want to take advice, you know, hey, what do you think about this situation, brother? Oh, hey, what do you think about this situation? And then whatever the best advice that fits what they want to do, that's what they go with. I get sick of stuff like that. And if you come to me and you want marriage advice, I might just say, hey, why don't you just go read the Bible?
Amen.
You know what the Bible says about marriage. Why do I have to counsel you on something that you already know what to do?
Right.
And look, every marriage has problems. I get that. But don't involve your in-laws and your family with your marriage.
Because
you know what? They're never going to be on the side of the other person.
Yeah.
Most people are not.
Yeah.
But, you know, most people don't judge right either.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's my sweet little girl. I'm going to just take her side on everything. It's wrong.
Amen.
If you're a parent, if my kids came to me with something, I would just tell them what's right.
Yeah.
Am I going to take their side because I like one of them better than the other? It's called just judgment.
Amen.
Where am I at here? Verse 15? No, verse 6. Let's go to verse 16. It says, when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. Now skip down to verse 20. So he gives him this advice that he needs to divvy up all the work and all that kind of stuff, right? In verse 20 it says, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk." Remember that word way? The way? I was just talking about when the women lead them out of the way. So there's a way that we're supposed to walk in.
Amen.
And Moses was supposed to tell them. And you know what? As the pastor, it's my job to tell you also.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you the way that you should walk.
Amen.
You know, but if you don't want to walk in that way, then guess what you got coming to you?
Yep.
God's wrath and punishment.
Right.
And it's going to be your own fault because you just want to, you want to listen to CNN instead of what the Bible says. And so, look at, so what are the rules for the justices? Well, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able women." Does it say women? No, it says able men.
Yep.
"Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens." Look, a judge and a ruler in the land, someone that rules inside this church, someone that's just, that's a leader in this church, they should be able to judge rightly. And you should be an able man that fears God, a man of truth, hating covetousness. Why should you hate covetousness? Because people are able to be bribed with covetousness. You know, they give them a gift that perverts their judgment. "Here, Pastor Thompson, I'm going to give you an extra bonus. Hey, you should side with me in my divorce proceedings or whatever." No, I'm not going to do that. And I would probably throw you out of the church if you did that because that's covetous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to make me be covetous. So look at verse 22. It says, "And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, and every small matter they shall judge." They shall judge.
Yeah.
"So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing God commandeth thee, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all the people shall also go to their place to peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard causes they brought unto Moses. But every matter they judged, every small matter, excuse me, they judge themselves. See, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, go ahead and turn over there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think Paul's alluding to what is said here because it says every small matter they judged themselves.
Right.
Okay? Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Now Paul the Apostle is telling the church, hey, you're supposed to be judging. You're supposed to be throwing wicked people out of the church. In chapter 5, it explains those things. But look what it says here in chapter 6, verse 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust, and not before the saints." As saints, we should be able to judge the smallest matters and even more great matters within the church without having to throw someone in jail over it.
Yep.
Without having to take somebody to the law.
Yep.
So look at verse number 2. Excuse me. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Even the children of Israel, back in Moses' time, were divided up into rulers and judges and all these things. But in the church, we can't even judge the smallest matters. Why? Why do you got to take someone to the law? You know, it's a wicked sin to take your brother and sister in Christ unto the unjust rulers of this world.
Amen.
Over small matters.
Right.
Verse 6, look at verse 3. It says, "Know ye not that we shall judge the angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge that are least esteemed in the church." He's saying the person that people esteem the least, let that person judge. Because you know what? It's better for that person to judge than some wicked ruler.
Amen.
That's going to twist the law.
Yep.
Look, our judicial system is messed up.
Yeah.
Look at what they did last week.
Yeah.
They arrested a man based on someone's word and no testimony, no video evidence, nothing.
Right.
Arrested him. He spent the night in jail and they took his blanket from him. And have you ever been in a cell before? They're not exactly warm. They don't, you know, crank the heat up for you. And it's like the blankets are small enough to cover your feet or to cover your top portion. And, you know, they took both options away from him. And look, all he was doing is just saying that everybody has the right to believe whatever they want.
Right.
Which is true. But when we do, if we did that to a brother in Christ and made them go to jail for some matter that's not a huge matter, if it's not some kind of murder or rape or molestation or something like that, then you're not supposed to be turning them over to the law. If it's someone bumps into your fender out in the parking lot, you take care of it.
Yeah.
You don't take them to court and sue your brother.
Right.
It's wicked.
Amen.
And I will throw people out of the church for that.
Amen.
But what's Paul say? If you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. You're never going to get a fair shake with the unbelievers.
Right. You're right.
Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
Yep.
Sometimes you got to suffer yourself to be defrauded. Hey, someone rips you off.
Yep.
Whatever. Let God deal with it.
Amen.
You know, and I'm sure it happens. Yep. I know I can think of a specific thing right now where someone said, hey, I'm going to pay you this. I'm going to give you this. And then they're like, nope. You changed your mind. It's wicked. You should do what you say you're going to do. But it says, why do you not take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that with your brethren. And so what's the Bible saying here? What's Paul saying? Do not take your brother and sister to the law and have them thrown in jail. It's wicked.
Yep.
It is wicked. And look, and that would, is your wife or spouse your brother or sister in Christ?
Yeah.
As well as your spouse? Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
So why in the world would you break the commandments of God over something that's not that big of a deal?
Right.
I think it's wicked when spouses call the police on each other when there's not some kind of crazy thing going on.
Yeah.
If you're just fighting, just work it out.
Yeah.
Call the police on your brother or sister in Christ. It's wicked.
Yeah.
Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now Moses, he's remembering when he told the children of Israel, hey, I'm going to make you rulers and judges and all this stuff. And this is where he says, what to judge. You know what? I'm not going to read this. I'm going to do a part 2 in the afternoon. I'm already way past time. So I got the rest. I'm going to just do a part 2 about judging this afternoon after soul winning. So I'm going to close the sermon there. I've already gone over time anyway, and now you've got 2 more pages left. So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and Lord, how clear it is. And Lord, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is roasting in hell. And the reason why she is, Lord, because she rejected your son. Lord, I pray that this would be a help to somebody that is just wrong about things. Lord, about how wicked it is to destroy the things that God has put in place that are special, like the birth of children. Lord, you want the world to be fruitful and multiply. And Lord, people are murdering their children, and they think it's right. They think it's okay. And Lord, there's also a movement in this country that's trying to take and flip everything that's biblical on its head and make light darkness and dark, you know, and vice versa. And Lord, they're just they're trying to make a mockery of your laws and your statutes, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to judge rightly. I pray you'd help us in our own relationships and know that we're not supposed to take people before the law that are brothers and sisters in Christ and to try to get them thrown in prison and things like that, Lord. Super wicked. Pray you'd help us, Lord, help us to change our mentality where we're wrong on things. And I pray you'd help us to win many souls today. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.